Peace, peace, family. You in here?
Yeah, peace. How you doing, sis?
I'm well. I'm well. I'm so glad that we can make it in.
Finally, right? Can you hear me clear?
Yes, you're coming through really clear. Am I coming through clear?
Yes, definitely.
Awesome, awesome. So I just want to say peace, love, and light, and welcome to the Crowns and Tiaras podcast. I am Desire, your host, and that is Desire with a Z. Don't play with me. So tonight we have my brother, we call him Bless, but he goes by the name Luino. Bless, what's going on, brother?
Well, I'm doing well. I'm doing fantastic. And I couldn't thank nobody else but God because, you know, he helps me along the way, my journey, my failure, my everything. So I always thank him first because he deserves all the credit before me.
Amen.
I'm doing good.
Amen. It's good to hear your voice. So my brother is not even in America. Tell us where you located.
I'm currently located in Dominican Republic, where I was born, and I'm in Santiago right now, not in the capital, but I'm in Santiago. Like, that's the second biggest city in the whole Dominican Republic. But the only thing, we just don't have the water, the beaches is not there, but you know, it's in the capital, but I don't like the capital because it's too much traffic. So I like over here better.
Yeah. Wow. So you're out in DR. I'm over here in America. And for those who don't know, I met my brother Bless through the ABS tribe. And ABS tribe simply means assets before splurging. And let's tell them a little bit about how we met through the ABS tribe.
Wow. I remember how I joined the ABS tribe. Listen, the ABS tribe is the best family I have come across. And it's funny how I joined the ABS tribe. I used, you know, I don't know much about social media, but, you know, I decided to create an Instagram page. And I was like, okay, well, you know, everybody start their Instagram page at zero. So I'm like, okay, who am I going to follow? So, you know, you get the list coming up and mm-hmm. I am clicking on black, you know, different black organization and then following, and then I come across Brother Ben X, and then I start following. And I remember the first day I started listening to Brother Ben X, and I was like, wow, like Brother Ben X is just like, you know, he has that gift in him, you know, because his gift is to, which is before I knew that, to wake up the dead mind. So it was like, I feel like I was dead and he was just taking me away and I'm listening to him listening. And I said, I like this book. And I started following him more and more. And then one day he was talking, and then you know how when you're watching people on Instagram and you know they request, send a request or something like that. So, you know, I hit the request and Brother Benix pick it up. So I was shocked, like put in the spot, like, you know what I mean? And so I was like, wow. I was like, what am I going to say? So he was like, we was talking about how to help you. You know, you're talking about digital real estate, the ABS tribes and stuff like that. And then about, you know, Brother Benedict's always using scriptures and preaching. So, mm-hmm. And I was like, he asked the question, the Q&A question was, if you have any type of business question. So, you know, I was thinking about opening my second business. And I asked him a question. And then he said, if I were you, what I would do is focusing on not selling the product, but more of so selling the vision. And I was like, wow, thank you. And then he said, oh, you in the ABS tribe? And I say, nah, but you know, I didn't pay no attention. The second time I went in there, and then I ended up joining the ABS tribe. And then when I got in there, it was like, wow, listen, this is the bomb, man. This is where I need to be. And I was listening, I felt lost. And you know, through the tribes, I met you, I met Brother Young Khan. My coach, Sean.
Yes.
I have learned the logo too. What's the name? Murphy. Listen, man, it's ever since then I've been clicking, and one day I decided to call you because something you had said on your live that inspired me so much. You know, that's the thing about I love about the ABS tribe, because people in the tribe always have something to inspiring people. Through their mm-hmm. words, their experience, what they saying. And you was talking about how spending time with our loved one don't necessarily mean that we have to take our wife or to a dinner or to a special occasion. Mm-hmm. And spending time with your wife could be just because you're at work. when you do have that break time, you call in, just talk to her, tell her how was your day, what mm-hmm. were you doing, and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Maybe go take a car wash with her, something that mm-hmm. you do in your spare time. It's just define as spending time with her. And me and my wife, we go through that, and I say, wow, that's what I'm going to do. And I called you, and I said, listen, I got to thank Sister Desire for that. And I called you, and then ever since then, we've been connected.
Amen, amen, yes. Like, Brother Bless, you and your wife, y'all inspire me as well. Like, I'm a single woman. I'm a single Black woman in America by choice. I've decided to be single because I have to heal from the traumas of my past. So until I can heal myself on all levels, I don't want to bring anybody else into my circumference until I'm comfortable in my healing space, right? And I do believe now that I see you and your wife, I see Brother Benex and his wife, I see Brother Jake Taylor Jacobs and his wife, you know, and then we have so many brothers in the tribe that are married and happily married and thriving in their marriage. And it just gives me hope. It gives me a peace of mind knowing that Black love is Black power and Black love is real and Black love will be mine one day as well.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I agree.
You feel me? So yeah, I appreciate you sharing that about the tribe. Like for me, I started following Brother Ben X when I was in New York. I relocated from New York to Texas. I've been in Texas about 6 months now, but I knew when I was in New York, I said, I'm going to, when I get to Texas and I get settled in, I'm going to see what this is about. I want to see what this ABS tribe, this digital real estate is about. So at the time, all I could afford was the ABS tribe, which was the $50 a month. And then the brothers went on a 50K in 2 day challenge. You remember that? The 50K in 2 day challenge.
Yes. I remember. I was listening. I was tapped in, man. I remember that.
And they did a little over 100K in 2 days.
In two days, yes, they did.
Whoa. And I remember the energy on that call was so live, like God was present.
Yes.
The power of God was present on that call. And all of us are in our own, you know, homes, but we're on that call convening and watching these brothers manifest their reality before us, showing us that this is possible. And you know what else is so amazing about the tribe is that the two brothers that came together, they have been burnt just like the majority of us in the tribe when it comes to business, right? They've been burnt, they've been scarred, and they found each other and gave each other a chance. And one of them is a Muslim, one of them is a Christian. That's so just like, for me, it's just like, you know what I'm saying? Phenomenal to me. Because in a world like today where we live, Black people use any reason to separate and be at each other's neck and be at war, especially religion. And then you see these two brothers that are not, you know, they're both of their religions play into that scheme, the whole scheme of uplifting the people, and not just Black people, but white people too, because we got white people in the tribe as well that are benefiting from this tribe. Like me, for example, today I opened up my first drop shipping store.
Great. And, congratulations.
Okay. Huh?
Congratulations.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. I opened up my first drop shipping store and I'm very proud of myself. And let me say this. One of the brothers in the tribe, he's also a married brother. He has a beautiful Black wife and family. Jason King, he created the drop shipping bandit. If I'm being brutally honest with myself, I probably could have opened that store. I started it last week, Saturday. So I probably could have opened it, I would say, within 48 to 72 hours if I was just going hard. But, you know, you have to go to work. You have to life, you know, you got to do other things in life. So I dedicated the whole holiday yesterday, the Thanksgiving or the family day holiday, to the dropshipping store. And then after work, I dedicated my whole evening. So I didn't sleep. I'm tired. I didn't sleep yet. And today I said, I'm going to get this store up and running. And I did it. And I kept going back into the tribe and then going back to Instagram on my phone while I'm on my laptop, listening to inspiration as I'm going through it. Because I had moments today where I was just like, no, I'm going to lay down. Nope, I'm going to lay down. Then I'm listening to the inspiration. people are like changing their lives, quitting their, firing their bosses, creating businesses, creating legacies. And it's just so powerful and so much inspiration. So salute to the tribe. We just want to take a moment to salute to the tribe. Salute to the mentors. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. We honor y'all. All right.
Yes, absolutely.
Feel me? So let's get into this interview. So I had a few questions that I had for you. And my first question is, how have you been rocking your crown during this pandemic? So where were you at in your life when this pandemic was declared? And has it affected you, you and your family out there? Like, do you guys experience it out there?
The pandemic hit right when I started. I think I 2018 July, I quit my job and I decided to branch out and execute my own business and to the call center. And I think 2000.
Congratulations, brother. Congratulations. I wish I had that clapper.
Yes. And now 2018, I lasted, you know, because, you know, first when you start a business, you have to learn the experience of business also to stay afloat and make your dream that you had before you start the business to come to reality. And
that's right.
And 2019, when I had one first year celebrating my first year in my course in the business. And right before that, I went through a storm myself because I lost it like 5 employees. So I had to recruit because, you know, money was getting low. And then, you know, through my works and hard working and searching through emails and finding contract. And right before that, the pandemic hit because I couldn't find any contract because season was low. You know, in business, you have low season, high season. And when the pandemic hit, that was like a blessing. That turned out to be a blessing for me because now if you notice that everything was being more ordering online, everybody was calling and they had delivering, like, you know, so I ended up finding more contract because most people were shopping online. So therefore I was able to recruit and get back up. So it was it turned out to be a blessing for me and my family.
Amen. Amen. I think it was a blessing for me as well, because if the pandemic didn't hit when it did, I probably would never have come to Texas. I came to Texas during the pandemic. So I was already out of work, took all my savings. My tax return had just hit. I came to visit family, stayed for a month, looked for a place, applied for work, and then everything just started rolling. And I believe that was the will of God. It was supposed to happen the way it happened, when it happened. So yeah, the pandemic was definitely a blessing for me as well.
Yes, we have to trust. And see, the thing is that, as you mentioned earlier with Brother Ben X and Brother Jake Taylor, Jacob, see, these two guys, see, they doing godly work. They doing the righteous thing. So that's the reason why they shine. Because once you start tapping with yourself, because tapping with yourself, how they teach you is to recognize the gift that you have within yourself that God give you. That is natural. Which is you don't have to work for it. You just have to develop it, recognizing it within yourself.
Recognize.
And then once you recognize it within yourself, your next step you have to do is get with God. Now, because that is his gift that he gave to you. His gift is not given to you for you to waste it and do wrongful things with it. So if you don't get with him, then that's where you're going. So once you get with God, this is what Brother Ben X and Brother Jake Taylor did, you know what I mean? Because they got with themselves and know their value and get in with God, you know, whether you're Christian or Muslim, I don't know what your, you know, religion out there, you know, you got Rastafarian, you got, you know, different Christianity, but right. The God, the righteous God is righteous. And when you do righteous things, you will succeed.
That's right. No matter what religion you believe in, righteousness is righteousness. And when you're walking in righteousness, you are walking in the will of God. You don't look to do anybody any harm. You look to add, you look to help, you look to uplift. But anytime you're doing anything adverse to that, you can't win. And this is why these brothers are so blessed, because even in their journey, before they even got to each other, their intentions were always pure. They were always walking in righteousness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's sort of like how when I left my business where I used to work at, because I used to work for a call center in Dominican Republic. It's one of the biggest call centers in Dominican Republic. It's called UNO, which is United Shore. Now, at UNO, they have 168 campaign, and I'm talking about Sprint, AT&T, Verizon, Coca-Cola, prepaid, Sears, JCPenney. Listen, there's so many of them. And I used to work for AT&T, and what we used to do is, I don't know if you know where, you know, when a new phone come out and then they tell you to return with your old phone and then refinance in the new phone, and it will give you like a rebate back based on the cost of the worth of your value of your phone. And I used to work there and watch how these people making money off society, and they don't even see it because they use a gimmick, a mindset of making money. And I'm not trying to say I'm shooting at these people, but you know, it's business. But when I when I elevated myself from being an agent to a QA, and then I was actually the supervisor there, so now I'm getting access with the actual client and speaking with them in meeting, and I'm seeing that these people are paying me to lie to customers, and I didn't like it, and they're not even paying me enough money. So I said that, what if I can trying to get my own call center and treat the people the way I'm supposed to treat them, pay them the amount of money I'm supposed to pay them, which is righteousness thing. I don't have to lie. You know, I just want to do customer service. So I begin to seek how to start a call center. And the point I'm making is that you have, it might take you something that you're doing wrong to recognize how much you're not doing right.
Say that.
And we could do wrong all day, because when you're doing wrong, you don't think of it. You just do it. It just happened. You just wake up today, you feel like you want to be a gangster. You know what I mean? And tomorrow, you just listen, man, I want to sell drugs. I'm going to go find it. You know, it's never hard to do these things. But to read the Bible is hard. To listen to Brother Ben X and Brother Jake Taylor is hard, because these people are speaking spiritual stuff to you to waken up your inner self. And that's what's wrong with the world.
Yep. True. People don't want to heed the word of God. You got to heed the word of God. Whether you don't, I always say this. People always say, well, so when you're praying to God, does he answer you?
Oh, yes. Of course he answers you. Because what is praying to God? Praying to God is asking him everything that he already gave you. You know, that's what praying to God is, because there's nothing you can ask God that's not already there for you. Everything you can think of, it's there. It's because before he made us, even in the Bible, it shows that before he made us, he created everything that we need. He created everything that we need. So our gift is to implement our gift based on God's creation and provide to the people that lives amongst it. That is what we are there for. And he answers my prayer every day, because every day I ask him to teach me how to be valuable to others. And that's what I want to do.
Yes.
Absolutely. He answers my prayer, because I execute.
Yeah. And praying is not always about talking. Sometimes praying is listening. Because you can pray and say the words, right? In every religious belief, you say the words. And then you can pray and just be quiet and meditate and go within. That's still prayer.
Yep.
You know, all a healing process. It's all a part of the healing process. But I appreciate those nuggets that you just dropped. Those are powerful nuggets that you just dropped. And so let's move on, because we're already about 20 minutes in.
I'm sorry.
No, it's not. This is beautiful. There's no need to apologize. This is beautiful. It's flowing beautifully. I love it. So tell me some things about yourself, you know, your family, your businesses, anything that you want to share with us.
Okay, I am I'm not legally married, like at a you know, go to a church and get the paperwork, because that's just
That don't matter. You're married.
But I'm married with my wife because I have to marry with her within first. That's what mattered the most. Right. And so I'm married, but I'm not legally married. I mean, I proposed to my wife 2019 on my birthday. We was planning to get married for this year, but the pandemic, you know, because our family and loved one can't come. So that's why we postponed the marriage until once the COVID-19 is done. I have two children. I have a son. He's 6 years old. I have a daughter that's going to turn 1 year next month. Actually, January 27.
Aww.
Yes. I have two sisters, five brothers. I have one brother on my mother's side, and then four brothers on my father's side. I have a call center business, as I mentioned to y'all. I have a second business I'm implementing right now. It's not big yet. It's called DSC, Deer Sanitizing Expert. That is a cleaning business. We are more focusing on, since you know that I'm in the Dominican Republic, so we are focusing on the COVID-19 pandemic that's scaring everybody around. And me and my wife, we did some research and found a company who actually has a chemical who killed the COVID-19 viruses. So meaning that that chemical is a form of spray that you use when you mix it, and then you go into stores and businesses when you spray them. So, and after 1 hour, that chemical protecting the business from people who are coming in, since we don't know who has the COVID-19 or not. So therefore, if they have the virus on them and they touch somewhere within your business, and then they cannot leave the virus in there because the chemical already protects you against the virus. So if they do leave the virus there, it automatically kills it.
Well, look, I don't want to blow up no spots, but once we get off of this this podcast, you're going to have to inbox me the name of that chemical.
Absolutely. Awesome. Absolutely. I can show you the research. Actually, you can have that business in America also, because they are training people how to become certified, so where you're able to purchase the product from them, and then you can implement that business in America as well.
Really? Oh yeah, we're gonna have to build after this. All right. All right. So let me make sure I get my questions together. I'm so into this podcast so far. This is awesome. Okay. So you already said that. So you going through my questions. What was your childhood like, and how has it shaped you into the man that you are today?
First, let me try to speed that up. I grew up, I was born in Dominican Republic. My father was Dominican, my mother is Haitian. And I guess when my mother was, you know, don't know their relationship issue when I was a baby. So I guess things didn't work out between my mom and my dad. So when my mom was like 3 months, she left and went to Haiti with me. And so I never get to know my dad and know him. I don't know, to this day, my mom's hate him so much. But it was because she always tell me that when she told my dad she was pregnant, my dad wasn't ready for no baby at that moment. You know, now that I'm older, I can put an understanding to both sides. And my dad didn't want to have me. And so my mom wanted to have me. And then I guess my dad put some type of pill, and she would have drank the soda. And then, you know, I would have died. He would have killed the baby. I guess that's another form of miscarriage. So my mom hit my dad for that. But at the age of 5, I went to America with my mom on a visa, and my visa was done. But, you know, so I was illegal there. You know, but, you know, in America, education is a mandatory. So I went to school, you know, when it's time for me to go to college, my mom ended up marrying. Got his paperwork and then got me papers to a high school. But I never become a citizen. So I began to go to school. You know, I used to be in the street, the normal thing. I grew up in Brooklyn, and at first I went to New Jersey. I stayed there for elementary school, middle school, and high school. I graduated. And then I came back to Brooklyn because I guess it was too much for my mom to handle me. And then plus two babies who was already there. That's three of us by my stepdad. And so they take me to my aunt's house. I guess it was more convenient on my mother's side. So I grew up with them. I didn't like the way my aunt used to treat me. She used to always make me do everything. You know what I mean? Like clean, wash the dishes. You know what I mean? Everybody that's in the house. I got some other cousins there too. They let them go out, play basketball. I couldn't do any of that. I remember my first job for Burger King, and I used to get paid. She used to take my money and put it on a bank account and then give me $50 of my check. And then everybody else get to cash their check and do whatever they want with their check. So, you know, mm-hmm. I didn't like that. But I was always like a quiet kid, like don't say much. Even though they treating you wrong, I know I'm wrong and I'm right, but I won't say nothing. Mm-hmm. I always hold back. And one day one of my cousins, he used to love playing ball, and his socks, you know, be smelly. So he always throw them away because he don't want to wash them. So she told me to go downstairs. We was living in a residential apartment, and I was on the sixth floor. She wanted me to go downstairs to go pick his socks in the dumpster to wash it for him. And I was like, Auntie, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that. And I guess big things happen. Oh, you getting out? She kicked me out. So I was in the street. But my mom wasn't calling me. So, you know, I used to always feel alone growing up. But because my mom had her own thing to worry about, you know what I mean? So for some reason, she been through a lot, like just like me. And and I started to hit the street, you know, smoking weed, hanging out with the fellas, you know, when I get braids, wearing pants, you know, following people and thinking, because with them, nobody had to tell me what to do, what I don't want to do, you know what I mean? So I think that it was the best way to be. And, you know, but I was always smart in school, but I always hanging out, cutting class and stuff like that. So I barely graduate.
Yeah, you was being regular.
You know, the normal things that we do. So then,
yeah, no real guidance, no structure.
Right?
Nobody. Well, look at you now. Look at the man that you have become. So all that has shaped and molded you into the man that you are today. And that is beautiful.
Absolutely.
You're strong, you're resilient, you know, you're unbreakable.
Yes. I mean, sometimes, you know, like you have to get destroyed in order to, you know, like Nation Islam, I don't know, like God body, when I was in prison, they teach us that, like, you have to destroy in order to build. And sometimes, you know, when you listen to yourself, your fleshes, you crush your whole body. You're treating yourself bad, you know, you poison yourself, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. And once you become awake of your true self, and all you had to do is just awake your true self, your inner self, think about things, you know, execute, because everything is mathematic. And I didn't know that. Like, you have to just think about it. When you think about things, you put things into perspective, you analyzing. All it is mathematic. That's a part of thinking. And we don't do that. We just want to do things the easy way. And just want to, like, oh, I can smoke weed and then the girls like me. You know what I mean? Meanwhile, the guys that's doing good, you know, they wasn't getting that much attention. You know what I'm saying? So we feed it into what the world perspective of living is, instead of say that, why I can't live for myself, what I want to do, how I want to live, what I feel is right for me. And that's what I started doing when I went to prison, because I was done. I was sentenced to 20 years. And I was like, wow. And I was 21. I'm talking about my life been stopped for, I'm 37 now. So we talking about 21 to 31. That's a big escape of my life. And I was sitting in there and I'm like, I got to do 20 years. I mean, you know, I got my girl putting in a pill for us, you know, with a pay lawyer. But I got 20 years until something happened. And I was like, how am I going to do this, God? And, you know, I remember clearly I was in downstate correctional facility, for those who are from New York. And I was in B block 25 cell. Now, we're in reception now. So that means reception is a place that they put us to give us a number and our greens and stuff like that, so we can go do our time. So while I'm in there, I'm hearing everybody talk, you know, some people talking about gangs, some people talking about, you know, some people preaching, like, how am I going to, you know, so many things is being said to my head. And I'm like, everybody got a name. Like, everybody got a name. Like, why? That's when I call myself blessed. And I was like, I don't want to be a killer. I don't want to be a savage or the killer.
Yeah.
I don't want to be those kind of people. And I said, I don't know how God going to help me. I don't know how you're going to help me do this time, God, but I'm going to trust in you. And
yes.
I know that you're not going to leave me or forsake me. And
yes.
I promise you, if you get me through this, I would not betray you. And, you know, a lot of us, you know, when we're in trouble, we talk to God. That's when we want to tell God, look, man, God, I'm sorry. You know, and then we still go back and do it. So, and when I decided to do that, and I said, I'm going to call myself Bless. And everybody asked, what's my name? My name is Bless. My name is Bless. My name is Bless. And I remember when they took me to Clinton, which is now I'm going to my jail first stop because I'm Max A. I'm in Clinton. Max A. Just Clinton is two side. They got the Honor Dome, which is the B side, and then the A side.
Right.
And what I just got in there in less than 20 minutes, my eyes were seeing two men stabbing each other right in front of my cell. Mm. Two black men. And I'm like, God, is this how you're gonna help me? Like, good.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, sometimes I gotta sit you down in order to get
right. But listen, though, I'm questioning God now myself because I want to cry. I'm like, is it how you're gonna start with me by letting me witness that? And I'm like, I'm scared. I went to the yard. Now this is my next experience. I just go to the yard now. Another fight, and I'm standing in the snow. I don't have no package, so I don't have nothing. So I'm wearing the state green with the little thermos they give us with the state boots, no gloves, and I'm laying on the snow until they find a weapon. I literally stay on the snow face down for 45 minutes. I'm freezing, and there's nothing you can do about it. But what God was trying to show me is that even in your darkest night, you can still survive. Because I would never, I myself, lay on the snow for 45 minutes the way I was. That would never happen. I would never want to witness two people stabbing each other. Or me wants to do that. But what he did, he showed me that, yes, you can do it. So someone told me, listen, my brother, you know, you just got here, this and this and that, you know, this how the jail run, this and this. And I'm listening to him. He said, look, man, you got 20 years, man. Your best advice I would advise you is stay in the law library. I said, what is the law library? What you mean? So he took me to the law library the next day. And inside the law library, there is a mini library also. And I'm like, I don't know no laws. So I grab a book. Because I was in there looking stupid. So my first book that I grabbed was How to Do It Yourself. That was the first book that I read in prison. How to Do It Yourself. I don't know why I take the book, but I just take the book. What I'm trying to say is that when you come to realization, you want to have let God take control of you, He will never do you wrong. He will never lead you wrong. So, I never read a book in my life. of course, you know, you go to school, you got to read the textbook and that's it. And then whatever the homework you got to do, you do it and you keep it moving. Now, I'm actually about to read my first book. And then the first book that I grab is How to Do It Yourself. Now, I'm 21 years old. I don't really know much. So I'm reading a book. And the book is teaching me things, how to focus. Like the book, it's giving me a self-soul searching. And after I read the book, and the next thing I read was a journal from one of the brothers outside. He was Muslim, and he had a Final Call journal in his hand. He said, you ain't got nothing in there to read or nothing, man. I'm like, nah, you know how we talking, chopping it up. So he gave me the journal. called a final call, and I took side with me, and I was that's when I began to start listening to Mr. Lewis Falcon, and through the message in the paper. You know, I never heard this man speak ever in my life, but he's speaking with me in the paper. And that is one of my first quotes that he says that civilization began with a knowledge. Civilization ends when that knowledge that originated that civilization started to decline. And I'm like, wow, what does he mean by that? Civilization. So that's when I begin to start doing my searching, how to find information, what I'm looking for. If I come up with a, you know, like the man that I am today, if I come up with an idea, how to make my idea come to realization, how to look for it, because the civilization that he's talking about is for our people, but at the same time, you have your own civilization also, other things that you start, you know, that and implement it into your life as you're growing up. And once that civilization end is when it started to decline. Because sometimes the civilization that was given to you was not the proper civilization that for you to have. So in order for you to leave that civilization, you have to decline that civilization. You have to let it fade away, that civilization. You have to let it go and rebuild yourself the right civilization. And after that, I said, yo, how do you get this journal? And he explained to me, you know, you have to write a little pink slip, send it out. They send it to you, subscription. Let me do it for a year because I'm going to be here for a minute. And I did a year, and I always do a year ever since. Now, he came out with a book. I started reading the Black relationship between the Jews and the relationship between the Jews and the Black, the first one, it was a blue book with the diamonds in front of it. Then he came out with the second one, the red one. Then he came out the what Jews, basically, I forgot the name of that book, Jews, what basically how Jews used to sell slaves, us Black people. It was like a little small Black book. So I read those books, and then now I'm started understanding the difference, because I was never a person of Black, white, black, that was never my thing. But I start seeing how they damage us along the way. So it's not my fault that I do the things that I do, you know? And or of our people that's out there and, you know, doing so much wrong things, it's the society that implement things in our mind, because our five senses is what brings information out. So if what we're seeing is wrong, is what we're touching is wrong, is what we're feeling is wrong, is what we're smelling is wrong, then therefore our mindset gonna provide us wrong information. So through his teaching, I learned, and then I started I wanted to start my own business because I was saying to myself, like, how can I not come out of prison? And in order for me, no, I'm saying that how when I get out of prison not to come back. That's what I meant to say. I'm sorry. Right. So I was like, what if I'm not to come back? Then I have to change the way I was. And so I said, I want to start a business. So I went and went for a book about business. I start learning the rule of thumb. What is the difference between an entrepreneur and an employee? And, you know, of course, they give you some mathematics of cash flows and stuff like that. So I was introduced into business and I said, okay, I want to start my own business. So now I'm seeing the different type of business, you know, services business, like a product business, you know, the wholesaling, the distributor, and also a service business as far as a nonprofit. So I said, well, what you mean nonprofit? So I want to learn about nonprofit now. So I read another book about nonprofit. So I was amazed by the nonprofit. So I said, I think I'm going to start a nonprofit. So I start studying more about nonprofit, the four types of nonprofit, the ABC, and then find out that B is the best interest one, which is the 501c3. Start learning about how to raise funds. Start learning about how to... Now, I'm in prison. I can't implement any of these things, but I'm just learning. God is preparing me. God is saying, look, man, don't get involved with the yard. Listen, I ain't never worked out up north. Listen, I did 10 years, and I ain't never worked out a day in my life. in there. I didn't never lift a weight. My weight was books, strictly books. Right. 3, 4 in the morning, I'm reading books. So now, when I find out how to develop the nonprofit with my and certification of incorporation, I had to get approved by the Secretary of State, Attorney General, and so forth. So I began to register my business. I needed 3 people in my business. Now, what I'm trying to say to you is that once God knows that you're ready, he has to train you, which is the training is always from gaining knowledge first, but the right knowledge. And then he start put you out there to testing to see what can you do with this knowledge. So with the 3 people there, because in order for you to incorporate a nonprofit business as a corporation, which is its own entity, you have to have 3 board of director in there with you to register. So I needed 3 bodies plus myself to get this business to register. So, you know, I'm testing myself. Like, okay, I'm learning. Let me put this learning to the test. When I registered the business, I had to train. Now, this is where the test comes in practice. I had to train these 3 guys to make them see what I see and agree to roll with me so their name can go in there. So I started teaching them in the class, because I was like a tutor for helping people get their GED. So I had access to the class, to the room. So I spoke to the teacher, help me out, get a little free time when you're in there. So, and then after all the approval from Board of Education, four of us got confinement in there because they think that I was trying to skim the government. So now hear this out, right? Because
I'm sure they knew
whatever it was, they locked me up. They lock everybody up and saying that I cannot do this. I'm like, what? I didn't hide anything. I'm an inmate. I had always put my DIN number there. I put the jail address with my name. They respond to me exactly what to do. I respond back. Whatever they tell me to do, they respond back. You've been approved. I said, thank you. So what did I do wrong? So they asking me about the business, I guess whatever they was trying to find out, but I guess they give us no ticket, they let us out, and then they came up with a law in 2007. I'll never forget that. And I was in downstate correctional facility because I got transferred because I got through a little obstacle in Clinton, went to Attica, then it become crazier, and then I end up in downstate, which is that was the best jail, and they let me out. But they saying that because I think that Department of Health had granted me $100,000 for the business. And as you know, because nonprofit, they get funded by donor, like, or like you got the like foundations. So Department of Health itself is a nonprofit organization. So they funded me. So but they thought that my DIN number was my employee ID. So I don't know where does that come from. If you say I'm in downstate correctional facility address, that is a correctional facility. But they say that I couldn't use the money, so I have to wait until I come home. They see that they love my idea. They can still provide me with the check, I guess, when I get home. But I got to do 10 years. So, okay, no problem. So, you know, I had to do 10 years. Now, because by then, when I got transferred, my appeal got returned. Overturned or something like that. So they want me to cop out to 10 years because they saying if I go back to trial, they start the case again. If they come up with new other evidence, then that can mess me up. So, you know, I'm over here with, I don't like to talk about my case, but I'm facing a murder case. You know what I mean? So it's not at the time. So it's not something to play around with. So my lawyer spoke to me and said, listen, man, you already been down 3 years. So out of the 10, you do 8.5. So listen, just take it, man, because you got a chance. You can get 10 off. So I listened to him. I take it. But when I take it, that's what made me get deported because I was under the immigration law because I'm not a citizen. But
so they didn't even have no business offering you that.
I mean, my fingerprint was not on the gun. You know what I mean? So they did a lie detector test with me. They say that my story was not a lie, but the point that they're making is the fact that my first wife, I mean, my first girlfriend when I was young at that time, she had died. I don't know if you're familiar with Brooklyn, you know, Temptation? Yeah, so she had got shot there, and you know, I know who did it, so you know what I mean. Now I mean, the case is over now, so I went and handled my business. I handled my business, you know what I mean? And you know, and we talking about, I'm 19 years old. You know what I mean? And the person that I loved that was helping me just passed away, like gone right in front of my face. You know what I mean? Because of a altercation with two people fighting and shooting at each other. You know what I mean? So anyway, that's the reason why I was sentenced for. But now, what point I was making is how God shaped my life and made me to the person I am. Because I'm not the person I am today on my own. I am the person I am today because of God.
Right.
And I'm giving the credit to God because only Him can do that. You know what I mean? And
that's right. So I want to get back into the business. I want to get back into your business because this is, I mean, literally, this is phenomenal how you went from an extremely low point, an extremely negative, and I love hearing your story. You have a very, very unique story, and I think you should write a book. I think you should look into writing a book. And look who's talking, because I'm still working on my ebook as well. Right? And I'm always telling people they need to write a book. I need to go ahead and finish my book and stop giving people advice about their books. But I think your story is very unique. And I think that, you know, you can show your negatives and then bring it to your positives and inspire somebody, because you never know. Somebody right now is sitting behind bars thinking, I'm probably never going to get out of here. Or when I get out of here, I'm probably, you know, they're probably just thinking the worst thing. And you're living proof to show that you can come from that and still become a business owner, a double business owner, and still have a healthy family and still be able to put that horror behind you. That was you yesterday. Absolutely. That's not you today. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? So I think your story is unique, and I love listening to you speak. I was very engulfed in your story. But I want to get back to the business side of things. So now with your call center, how long have you been in business? I guess you answered that question, but so the call center, you went into the call center business. Why? Because it was easy for you because you had already had that experience.
Yes,
working in
absolutely.
The call center.
That too. You know what I mean? Because like I said, I started as a regular agent in 2017, January, at Uno. And then 2018, I think like a year and a half, in between that year and a half, I went from an agent to a QA, which is I listened to the calls that the agent take and teach them or provide them feedback if they don't pass, and if they don't have 100, how they can get to the 100, because they give you something called incentive when you do perfectly on the call. So therefore, I had to develop the customer skill first as an agent, and then now teach people how to talk better on the phone, how to provide better customer service. And from the QA, and then after that, it was another, I become a supervisor. So now, which is that I supervise the floor for my territory and also listening, still doing QA work, but not as much focus on just QA. And after that, I decided to leave the business because, you know, other people on call centers here, and I was looking, I didn't like the fact that I don't like to work for people. Like, I don't like when I'm submitted to someone besides God. You know what I mean? And and when you come, you know, to come to work late, or you know, you're never that good with them. And no matter how much you put into your work, it's like what Brother Benny say, like with the FedEx, his story that he explained how he quit FedEx because he's like, well, if I put more boxes, I'm still gonna get paid the same thing. So, you know, if I work as hard as I want, they're gonna pay me the same paycheck.
Right.
And I started.
That's right.
Uh huh.
But you can for yourself. You can go work hard for
exactly.
yourself.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Show.
So I went to I started with Upwork first. I signed up for Upwork, got denied, And first it was because of location. And then after that, they opened it back up with the Dominican Republic location. Now, Upwork, I don't know if anybody know about Upwork. Upwork is companies, you know, businesses or person. They might want to do some type of work for them. Like they say you got skills on how to schedule.
They teach us about Upwork in the tribe when we're setting up our drive sharing stores.
So you might know about Upwork. So that's another way of if you are trying to get into that business, you can seek for clients there.
Right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, you don't need to do drop shipping because you're a business.
Why not? Why can't you do drop shipping?
You can do whatever you want, black man. You can do. Listen, the world is yours. Whose world is this? The world is yours, yours, and it's mine too.
No, the more value you add to people's life, because one thing about entrepreneurship, becoming a business owner, is you helping people. You people out there who are looking to work because they need that job, they need that services because they can feed their family. Now, what I want to do is my focus is to help people how to become their own business, their own.
Well, that's my next question, because I was going to ask what guidance or what type of advice can you give to someone looking to get into your field of business so they can start their own call center or their own cleaning
service?
I would say
learn the business first, of course. Take hire yourself, get a job about call center, or maybe you can read it. Some people might have a shorter way than me. You know, you can read about it. Nowadays, social media and books and courses are available everywhere in the world for people to take, where you can learn the skills right there from your house. You just got to take it serious. You have to be all in. So, and learn about customer service skills, how you can provide the best customer service skill. Like when you're opening, how to follow the script, how to have a rebuttal, you know, if you're selling something, like, because some customer service is to sell, to make a sale.
Right. I would say this. I would say to those of you who are listening in and you're looking to get into this customer service industry, opening a call center or even a cleaning service, I would say first go and work in that industry. There's nothing wrong with going and working for a company that's already established so that you can see the ins and the outs of the company. And this is especially to my young black entrepreneurs. It's okay to have a job where you work and you use your job to fund your goals. You're using that job. And even if it's not about financial funding, it could just be about the knowledge, the funding of knowledge that you're receiving from that particular business that you that particular job that you decide to take on so that you could learn more about. You know what I'm saying? And this is exactly what our brother Bless did. You know, have you ever read that book? It's called The Spook Who Sat by the Door.
No, I haven't read that book.
This is a good book. And this reminds me a lot of you. So it's actually a movie too. You probably could go on, maybe you could watch it on YouTube for free. It's called The Spook Who Sat by the Door. And it's a really good book, and it just goes to show how you can go. A black person can go very far in any industry, right? You can go very far and learn this game, this chess game that they set up for us. But not to just go far and learn how to play the game, learn how to separate and play your own game. Learn how to educate your mind with true knowledge, righteous knowledge, and then also the knowledge that they're going to teach you so that you can use that information to recreate your own brand. And build your own businesses and your own stores, you know, and your own foundations and companies. And that's basically what The Spook Who Sat by the Door. That's a really good book. I think the book was better than the movie because the book is a little bit more detailed, but the movie's really good too. It's an old movie. 1973 is when it came out. But I'm old school, you know. We about the same age, Bless.
Yeah, but I definitely agree with you on that. Like, whatever you're going to get into, first always gain the knowledge, you know what I mean, and then practice. You know, it's like a puzzle. Before you put the puzzle to see the beautiful picture, you have to work.
Right. So let me ask you this. What experiences as a business owner has had the most impact on you, whether they were negative or positive? Give us a negative and a positive experience that has impacted you in a way where you sought out to make some changes.
The two-step I have, I would say it's like a positive and a negative for me, because what I have done come to learn in business is that it's a two-step of experience. And what I mean by that is that you have okay, let's say, for example, I want to write my own books, right? I'm going to use that as an example. And you have the step of putting the book together, what you're going to name the book, and what you're going to talk about on the book, and how you're going to make the print out for the people to make it interesting. So once you go through all these steps and then now find the person maybe to do, listen to you, do some editing or something, find some coaching. Now you have to live the other experience of once the book now in action, how to make the sales, how to reach the people, how to market the business. So when I first started my call center, and yes, I did my research. I'm like, okay, I got it. This and this and that. Boom. I got a client. It was energy first. I'm like, okay, yes. So I went and got 10 employees. So now all these employees here. Now I know they got to take the training, but not knowing, I started with 10 employees that I already got on the book. Now the makeup, I got a law that once you hire somebody after 3 months, you have to, if you can't just fire them, you said, America, you go to work. If you don't come to work on time, and they can just fire you, and that's it. Dominican Republic now, if you fire someone after 3 months, you got to pay them to fire them. So you have to give them some type of percentage of what they would already make on your business for that 3 months. So the longer they stay, the more money you have to give them. So a lot of jobs here don't like to fire people. Now, I'm like, okay, I can do it. I can see it through. Now, I just started the business. I lost 7 employees because they wasn't showing up on time. Now, remember, this is not my personal call center where I'm the one who make the law. I have to follow their protocol of that client. So if the agent is not logging on time, then they're going to fire the agent. If the agent is not doing this, now I just started, so that's the bad report for me. So I went from 10 employees to 3 employees in a matter of 3 months. Just 3 employees. Now, the 3 employees not making enough money to sustain my business. Listen, I went through a lot. Trying to find the office. Then got the office. Somebody trying to jig me in the money. Take some money from me. End up taking the whole office from them. If y'all follow me on Instagram, y'all see my page, my office. That office, when I first rented, you will see that there is a part where there is a room, like a conference room. They had removed the conference room and put more cubicle in there. So I was only in that room inside that office. I had just that room for my 10 agent. That's it. So I'm renting a space inside of an office. And they was charging me $1,000 a month just for that 10 seats. Now, he's paying less of $1,000 for the whole office.
Wow. So he's just basically
jump on the water, and I was down $1,000. So he end up didn't pay his bill. So I end up meet the owner. Like I said, when you're doing God's work, and when you're following God's will, he always gonna bring a savior around you, because God used each other for each other. That is the reason why we need to tap into our gift and apply our gift to the world, because your gift, the world's needed. My gift, the world's needed, and everybody else has a gift that the world's need. Because of your lacking of finding your gift, you are lacking these people. So I met the owner, and the owner, the 3-4 days before I get off the office for that month, I just went to the office for a month, and I was already losing the office within that 1 month because he wasn't paying his bill. Because I don't know who you rent the office from. So he just rent me the 10 space. So now 4 days before the office, he had to give the office for that month. I met the owner. His name is Gerson Pina. And when I walked in there, I was like, hello, how you doing? I didn't know who he was. So, but I kind of very quickly know that he was the owner. So I felt his vibe. We started talking. He's from Brooklyn. And then we just connect. For some reason, he said, the guy about to give me the office, I said, look, I was thinking about renting the office, but since I'm in there, I don't want to live there because I'm already used to this old place. Can you rent it to me? So he said, yes, of course. That's how I ended up got the whole office. Come to find out, I wasn't even had to pay that much. My office cost me $600 a month now.
Nice. Yeah, this guy was freaking
Yes. What I'm saying about that is it's the fact that the negative things I was in business that I jump into something that I feel like I was ready for because I did my research, found my contract, and to find a contract, you got to go to an agent and you pay $500 for that. Whether they do the interview with you, like let's say I find you as an agent and then you find me a client that's looking for customer service skill call centers, and then you get me to set up me the interview. Now, if they don't like me, I lose my $500 no matter what. You know what I mean? So when I finally got one, now I got to experience the reality of having a call center business now. See? And I'm going down the drain. But the thing about it is that I didn't lose my faith. I didn't lose my vision. And I kept implementing because in life, when business makes a swift on you, you have to know how to still implement your vision within that swift.
You got to become water. You got to become water. Like Bruce Lee said, you got to become water. Water just flows. No matter where it goes, it becomes wherever it goes.
Absolutely. That's the greatest experience I had in business. And ever since then, every business that I know I'm going to start and I'm planning to start and I'm going to start later on in the future, I know that I got to go to that stage. So it's put it together. And then once I start executing, I'm going to go to a lot of bumping roads. Just like when I was putting it together, I was going to a lot of bumping roads also.
Okay. Okay. So what's your biggest motivation? What keeps you getting up each day and just going at it? Going
my
at
family.
Your goals? What's your biggest motivation?
That's my biggest motivation.
Amen. 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 If you could start over, if you could start your life over from the beginning, would you?
Yeah. Yes. Only thing I would do differently would be tap in within my godly self early. Early. Then later, you know, before
right.
prison time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, nice. So what are your top three inspirational quotes and who wrote them? Because I know we all have those, you know, those scholars that say profound things that every now and then you got to go back and refer to, especially when you're, depending on where you're at in your life, sometimes you got to go back and refer to these inspirational quotes because they pick us up, they keep us lifted up. What are your top three inspirational quotes?
I think I have already said one. That is my favorite. Civilization began with a knowledge, civilization end with that knowledge that originated that civilization started decline. Which, like I said, I don't know who wrote the quote, but to me, I always think that Louis Farrakhan wrote that quote because I never heard that quote from nowhere besides him. To his final call, one of his final call. It's my very first final call that I read. And the second one is by Simon, I could never say his last name, Kierkegaard. And he says that life must be living going forward, but can be understood looking backwards.
I always
look back, but I keep going forward.
Life must be living going forward,
but can only be understood looking backwards.
Let me see if I could find that quote so we can find who wrote it.
Kierkegaard. I can spell it for you.
Oh, yeah, Soren. Yeah, I have it. It said, life can only be understood backwards.
Living forward, but must absolutely. Be forward. I always put it that way.
All right.
And my third one is
by
Robert Stevenson. And it says that there is so much good in the worst of us. And so much bad in the best of us. That it beholds us or not to talk about the rest of us. So no matter how good you are, there is bad in you. No matter how bad you think you are, there's so much good in you. And he said that behold that the rest of us, let's stop talking about each other because you ain't no perfect than I do.
That's right.
And those are my favorite three.
All praises due to Allah. Well, we got that was that. Well, okay, so we're gonna bring this out to a close, but before we do, and you've said so many things to encourage our listeners, but I know you got some more in you, so I'm just gonna keep squeezing it because it's so good. It feels so good to be uplifted. So my last and final question is, what words of encouragement can you leave with our listeners?
Can I be honest? I want to be honest with this question.
Okay.
I'm gonna say three things. Get right with yourself. Get right with God. And get right with the rest of the world. Now, the reason I say these three things is I'm gonna just read this little scripture for you. Like, now I'm not Christian, I'm not Muslim, I don't have a religion. Mm-hmm. Just a child of God. That's what I consider myself as, because I'm nobody. Even with the businesses that I own right now, even all this knowledge, that without God, none of these things matter. Because when you do having these things, like I mentioned to you, it's for the people that you live amongst. Now, this verse right here, I'm not quoting scripture, I'm not a pastor, but on Romans 7, verses 15 to 20. Mm-hmm. It says that I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself. Now listen to the keyword. It is no longer I myself who do it, but it's the sin living in me. For I know that good itself, that's another keyword. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is my sinful nature. Mm. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this keep going. This keep on doing. Now, the reason I said that is that as the scripture stated, and what's pointed out to me on that is that I myself, I know that good itself does not dwell in me. Now, which is what I had said to you, one of my quote, that there is so much good in the worst of us, and there is so much bad in the best of us. So behold, that not to talk all about the rest of us. Now, I know that, listen to what the scripture says. I know that there is, don't get me to say, let me get it one more time. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. So inside yourself, good does not just dwell in you. It's sinful things also in you. Now, it says that that this is my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good. I have the desire. Mm. We all have the desire to do what is good. But listen to what it says after that. But I cannot carry it out. So that is what the world, our problem is, that we all have good desire in us. But the only thing is that we don't carry it out. That is my word of encouragement. Start carrying out your desire of good. Start executing your desire of good to the people, to the world. That is my word of encouragement. Right.
Amen. Amen. Well, that was well received. That was a wonderful word of encouragement. I appreciate you coming on the show. And I want you to take a moment real quick and tell the people how to reach you on social media, how to patronize your businesses, and so on.
You can
and so
follow
on.
Me on Instagram. Like I said, I still got my I'm gonna plan on implementing another Instagram, but the Instagram that I'm using now is my personal Instagram, which is BlessBNB. At BlessBNB on Instagram. Also, I just opened the Instagram for my second business, DSE, which is DS Sanitizing Expert. So you can follow me at DS Sanitizing Expert also. And you can email me at, you will see my email in there, which is LuinoDS at DSSanitizingExpert.com. Or you can send me a message or anything in that nature at LuinoDS@gmail.com.
Awesome, awesome. Well, ladies and gents, you heard it here first. Brother Bless, I appreciate you for coming out to the podcast. I appreciate you for letting us into your world and into your life and so deep into the man that you had to grow through and the man that you have become today. So with that being said,
okay, thank you. Thank you so much for listening to Crowns and Tiara with my sister Desire with the Z. Don't play with her.
That's right. Crowns and Tiaras podcast.